What happens to our animal friends when fire suddenly sweeps through their habitats? Many of them become wounded, trapped, or are left dying of thirst and starvation. They need immediate help from humans to survive. Hello, kind viewers, and welcome to Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, and today's program about a compassionate organisation called Help for Wildlife. Based in the southeastern Australian state of Victoria, Help for Wildlife is a non-profit grassroots volunteer group which offers a variety of emergency services to distressed animals. The service is offered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anywhere within the state. Their operators receive 18,000 calls for assistance annually. Help for Wildlife also offers information to the public about protecting koalas, owls, kangaroos, etc., in order to foster greater understanding of and respect for our animal co-inhabitants. In February 2009, Southern Australia, including the state of Victoria, experienced some of the most severe bushfires or wildfires in the region's history, causing untold suffering for countless animals. Since then, Help for Wildlife has been continuously involved in rescue work relating to this disaster. Denise Gerrit, director of the organisation, describes the fires and their impact on the animals.
It's difficult to put that into a few words, and again, it's difficult to find the right words if we have the words. These particular fires this year were something that we'd never encountered before. We were expecting something really bad because of the weather conditions and the way the climate is and what we've done to the environment and all of these things that were building up. But when it happened, the sheer vastness, the ferocity, all of it was just overwhelming. There were fires everywhere. It appeared at times we were going to lose all of our state. And there was that overriding fear of what was in that environment that was going to go and suffer.
And how did the wildlife endure all this?
The first time we went to Whittlesea at the staging area, we didn't quite know what to expect. We'd heard stories from the fire people. But when we were first taken into that sad and blackened land, words couldn't really describe what we saw. The thing that did surprise all of us was the animals that survived. We did not expect any survivors to come, and they did. We saved everything that we could. We helped everything that we could. And when we first went there, being the first year of the veterinary teams, we absolutely hit the ground running. We did everything. We treated horses, we treated goats, we treated sheep, deer. We helped some geese that were burnt. We had a rooster that came and it was burnt. We just did what we could to help the creatures in need. And it was absolutely overwhelming. 24 hours a day for 3 weeks, non-stop. It was overwhelming.
And so you had a caravan set up down there with veterinary help?
Yes, we've got a mobile response unit. It's been specifically designed for wildlife emergencies where our vets can work in. It's air-conditioned and powered. And at the rear of we have some inbuilt holding areas, so some of the patients can be held in intensive care there. But again, this was such an enormous, overwhelming incident that we're involved in. It became too much for what we had. So down at the footballers' changing rooms, which were given to us, we actually set that up as an intensive care unit. So we put some hay in there and we built all these little cubicles. And of course, as you can imagine, the kangaroos, we're getting kangaroos all shapes and sizes, wallabies, wombats, koalas, they all, even right down to a tiny feather-tailed glider, which is as long as your thumb, survived that fire. They came in and we treated them.
Over the past few years, Australia has experienced severe climatic changes, including higher summer temperatures, reduced rainfall, and lower water levels in streams and rivers. Victoria is now in a state of relentless drought. Ms. Gerrit believes that the changing weather patterns and resulting fires are due to global warming.
Lately, we've been having fairly major fires every 3 years, which is something we need to start looking and thinking about, why they're happening so frequently. Ash Wednesday was the first fire that I think everyone really sat up and took notice of, and that was horrific. But recently, they're getting more fierce, more devastating. Again, it's the climate change.
And the one that we had just recently, how would you describe that?
I don't think there's words in our vocabulary to describe that. I don't think there is. Firemen on the ground up at the Whittlesea complex, they were referring it to as an Armageddon in some areas.
During and after the fires, the requests to aid animals were endless, and Help for Wildlife was receiving hundreds of calls every day.
Phones went into absolute meltdown. It was really, really 24 hours a day. It was people calling from all around the world. They were so worried about the animals in those fires.
In a few moments, we will have more from our interview with Denise Garrett, Director of Help for Wildlife. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, as we continue with our program profiling the non-profit animal rescue organisation Help for Wildlife, based in Victoria, Australia. Following the widespread fires in the state, the staff has worked ceaselessly to care for the innumerable animals who have been affected by the disaster.
I understand the work is still ongoing in regards to the aftermath of the fires.
Oh, very much so. It's changed a lot. Since we've come home from the fires, the different teams are caring for different areas. We're still looking for wildlife, and weirdly enough, we are still getting wildlife out of those fires. They're heavily compromised. If the ones that have been burnt are infected, they're in a bad way, but they're coming through. But what's happening now is there's no food out there. The nights are getting colder, autumn's come in. There's no likelihood of food growing now before springtime. The animals that did survive are starving, and their water supply is not there either, because what water supply they did have is contaminated. So we're needing to take food into the forest to them and fresh water to make sure they make it through this winter.
During and after a forest fire, wildlife will often approach humans to obtain water.
We could show you so many different instances of koalas that have come up to us that are thirsty in a fire, and they'll come up and take a hose from you. It's not unusual for an animal to do that.
Denise Garrett believes that people are simply not aware that animals have amazing inner abilities.
I think we don't give full credit to the intelligence of those animals out there. They're incredibly, incredibly clever and very spiritual animals. Kangaroos especially have an uncanny ability to work out what people are like. There are some people they will allow to work with them and some they won't. I find that very humbling, and I always approach them with a huge amount of respect. It's a constant learning with those, and teaching some of the students that I do, I always say to them, you have to open your eyes to see the magic of it all.
The organisation relies heavily on the mobile response unit to deliver services.
And you've got just the one caravan at the moment, but I understand you might have some more housing in the future.
Yes, we're hoping to. The caravan as such has been specifically designed as a mobile response unit, and within that caravan it's been set up as a vet surgery, and it's great. We can tow it up. This is what we needed the four-wheel drive for. We can hook it up and tow it, and we can be functional within a matter of minutes as soon as we get to the scene. Yes, we do need extra areas. I personally would like to see another one that we can use for office staff rest area. We do have to look after our volunteers. They do need a rest. They do need a drink, and they do need to lie down, and sometimes they need a hug.
Help for Wildlife plans to construct new facilities to care for and protect animals.
We're establishing a wildlife education and rehabilitation centre, which we hope to encourage people to become more aware of the needs of wildlife and to live in harmony with the wildlife and their environment. But from what we saw this year, we need to be better prepared to help these animals that are in so much need. And for that reason, we're actually going to establish a burns unit up at that centre.
Hearing of the tireless, heroic and kind-hearted efforts of Help for Wildlife, Supreme Master Qinghai provided a loving contribution of $5,000 Australian to support their mission.
We have a cheque here for you from Supreme Master Qinghai. It's an amount of $5,000 Australian, and we hope you're able to use it for Help for Wildlife.
Oh, thank you so for our wildlife. Thank you. And Supreme Master Qinghai, thank you so much. We'll be able to do so much with this. We can make such a difference. And I really would like to put this into the burns unit if we may. And thank you so much.
Supreme Master Qinghai later conferred the Shining World Compassion Award upon Help for Wildlife. Please join us tomorrow on Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, for the presentation of this prestigious honour to this deserving organisation on part two of our program. To close, we salute Ms. Denise Garrett, the staff and many volunteers of Help for Wildlife who are constantly working so hard on behalf of the animals of Victoria. As we live in ever greater harmony and peace with our animal co-inhabitants, may our Earth's climate quickly stabilise, with all beings knowing comfort and protection. Thank you for your company on today's Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants. Next up is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. Farewell for now.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/AW